If you're in the process of applying for a mortgage, or maybe you're in the process of trying to buy your first home, some listeners have been in contact with us to say that they're still experiencing delays in the processing of their mortgage applications. And they're asking if it's related to the fact that they're currently receiving the state's COVID-19 subsidies. Now, this issue was highlighted in the news recently as AIB reversed a de facto ban on mortgage approval for customers who were getting the subsidy. That decision has been reversed. But we're joined in the line by Carl Dieter of Irish Mortgage Brokers to try and shed some light on this situation. Carl, thanks for joining us. We had the clarity from the banks only 2 weeks ago about the fact that they are looking at each individual application on a case-by-case basis, but we're still hearing from people who are in difficulty. Is it still a problem?
It is, but only because banks uniformly are in a predicament. They want to give people loans. They're not saying no. But what they are saying is that we need to have some kind of assurance about the future of your work. And when you're on any kind of wage subsidy, although you are being paid and that's great, there is a strong likelihood that some people on that scheme will eventually go on to lose jobs. Because to qualify for that scheme, usually what it means is that your company has to expect a certain reduction in turnover. That's one of the usual reasons why a company gets that support. And while you're fine while you're on this, they want to know that when it ends, that your job doesn't end. And that can be really frustrating. AIB were quite overt. They said, look, we're not looking at these. Then they did a whole U-turn on it. The rest of the banks, and the likes of Permanent TSB in particular, have been very good to their customers. They're saying, look, we'll bring you all the way to loan offer. But let's be fair, you just can't draw down a mortgage until we know about your income. I mean, your income is what justifies the loan. So they have to be sure of that. You have to be off the scheme in order to draw down a loan.
I'm in this particular situation myself, Carl. Actually, a lot of my close friend group are in a very similar situation where maybe people have had a pay cut or they're on the government's wage subsidy scheme. They've gone to loan approval. They're actually maybe at the point of drawing down a loan. And all of a sudden, there's this big delay now. But the problem is, many of them haven't had any reduction in their income. Like, whatever the mortgage was that they were granted X amount of money and the monthly repayments were going to be Y amount of money, they're still in a position to actually pay that mortgage every month.
So you're saying that people who are on support schemes, or they're not, sorry, just to be clear on that.
These are people, sorry, but in both cases, some of them have had pay cuts or some of them are just on the wage subsidy scheme.
Okay. Well, I guess if you've had a pay cut, well, then that puts you into a new category of what you can qualify for or not. So we've seen a lot of that with people who work for airlines, that, you know, they've gotten pay cuts. And so whatever they were going to do before, it's automatically probably not going to happen now, unless they were looking for a very low mortgage amount. If it is a case that you didn't receive a pay cut, there is obviously an operational issue within banks that they're trying to deal with huge numbers of requests for mortgage breaks. The banking authority, the central bank, have come out and said that they want all these reports and all of this. And the teams within banks, while they don't all work on, you know, whatever comes through the door, quite often they will deploy support staff from one group to another one to deal with whatever is the most pertinent issue at that point. The other thing on delay, and I'm not trying to you know, deflect away from whatever banks do or don't do, but you've also got delays in a lot of other areas that people might be blaming on the bank. So the bank might be saying, look, we need to get that structural survey. And, you know, the structural surveyor isn't going out in the usual way, or the person who lets them in might not be able to go, or they're trying to do social distancing while crawling through a house. Lawyers are working remotely, some days in the office, some days not. The whole thing just creates a lot of delay. And it is very frustrating. So, I mean, what I'm saying is there are delays out there, but you can't say that it's all 100% banks. Like, they are working fairly in the normal way. And I know that because we're a broker and I speak to other brokers. Like, if you look, say, across Dublin, I've been speaking to people in Park Financial, First Rate Mortgages out in Blanchardstown, Mortgage Line in Drumcondra. And so that's basically covering north, west, south Dublin and us in the inner city. And we're all saying the same thing. Like, there's actually a good number of applications out there and things are working, but there's just a lot of chaos at the same time. And that's one of the that's just one of the difficult things that you've got to try and do when you're in this situation.
What a lot of us find, though, is that that chaos that you're talking about is really adding to all of our frustration. Because while you may have gone sale agreed in a house and you've paid out the 500 quid, you know, to get the survey conducted of the property, and now you're going back to the bank to say, look, I'm ready to proceed here on this particular house. All of a sudden now it's, we need to get a letter from your employer again, and we need to get another 3 months payment slips to prove that, you know, either your pay cut has been restored or that you're still in a position to pay the money. And I get that, Carl. Like, I'm not advocating that the banks should be carrying out any kind of irresponsible lending. I totally understand why they have to do that. But I do think there are situations where companies have availed of a wage subsidy scheme, which has now been extended until April. And people who were granted X amount of money for their mortgage can still furnish the same mortgage. And it's actually stopping them from being able to draw it down and go and purchase the property that in a hugely busy market with massively, you know, huge pent up demand in that market. And these delays are simply adding to all of that.
Yeah, well, an obvious fix there, Andrea, would be to go to your company and say, look, take me off the scheme. We actually have seen a couple of cases where staff have gone to their employer and said, you know, by you availing for this scheme, it's messing me up. You know, would you take me off it? You don't, you've said you don't have any intention to let me go. And the company have said, yeah, we'll take you off the scheme. No problem. And that's something, I don't know if I actually should have said that really, but that is something that's real. And
it's probably, you know, it's, yeah, okay. Well, look, can I just ask you, we have a suggestion in from somebody who's wondering, do we need to have, you know, do we need the government to intervene in this in any way, in the same way that perhaps they did with business loans? Like, not necessarily up to the likes of 80%, but is that something that they need to intervene in to help people buy a house?
It used to actually be a part of the market. You used to have a thing called an indemnity bond that if you were borrowing above a certain loan to value, the bank could take out an insurance. And there was talk of bringing them back years ago, and they're still actually fairly common in some other markets. And what it does is it gives banks a certain level of assurance that if they were to extend a mortgage, that there would be some safety there if the person wasn't able to pay. But that's not the way it works in Ireland. And certainly at the moment, when a bank extends a loan, they're on the hook for the full amount from day one. So that would require some changes. But don't forget, whenever things like these come along, it always comes at a cost. You know, so indemnity bonds were something you had to pay for, or if the bank paid it for you, it got built into your mortgage rate. So, look, there's always great solutions out there, but is the cost of the medicine worth the value of the cure? And that's a separate question that I don't have an answer for.
Okay. A lot of people too wondering, and Carl, I appreciate you're in the mortgage business rather than in the house buying sector, but a lot of people wondering about the impact of COVID on property prices. I know certainly from my own experience in recent weeks that trawling through the various different retail agencies and looking for properties, there doesn't seem to be much of a drop, I have to say, following COVID.
Yeah, it's something, I'll be honest with you, I was a lot more negative. I always figure when something bad comes down the tracks that house prices will respond negatively to it. And I think I was wrong, at least so far. That said, the CSO statistics only came out this week. They show the prices rose 0.3% in May. Now, the stuff that was done in May, like during April, prices went up too. And I was saying, look, that's obviously like January, February prices, because they only report those prices after the property has been sold and closed. So May would typically actually be properties that were sale agreed and negotiated March, even potentially in April. So to get a true idea of the impact of COVID on the property market, we actually have to wait until probably June, July. But if those figures don't show drops, well, then it's just a case that it actually hasn't affected the property market. I suppose, rationally, think about it like this too. Like, we'd 10,000 homeless people, we'd a massive shortfall of properties in cities and a massive shortage of affordable housing. And we haven't fixed those problems. So if those problems haven't gone away, logically, maybe there isn't a reason to see house prices fall. Although, like I said, I expected that it would happen. I thought it would be a real natural market response to see prices drop.
We're really interested in hearing from people about this today. If you're in that situation, if you maybe you got approval and you've since lost it, or maybe there's been a delay, if you're in the process for looking or looking for a house or buying a house, or maybe you're trying to sell a house, if you're on the wage subsidy scheme, we want to know, have you been impacted by all of this? You can let us know here in News Talk on 1890 453 106. Just finally, Carl, can I ask you, as somebody that's in the mortgage broker business, what's your advice to somebody that's maybe thinking now they've got their deposit in place and they're thinking of applying for a mortgage application? Would you advise them to press ahead, or would you kind of say to people, look, hold off till the start of the new year?
That comes down always to the individual. It's dependent on you. And I would assume that someone is only thinking about that because they're at the right point in their life where that decision is something they could do. The things I always say is, look, don't overextend yourself. Thankfully, you can't really. It's not like you can get, you know, crazy loans anymore. Second is always go to some broker, because then you get a choice of everything that's out there. The third thing would be, if you're buying with another person, and this is something that's important because people quite often nowadays, they buy houses together, but you know, they wouldn't be married the way it was, say, years ago, is to make sure that you set that up correctly. Because if you put in more of a deposit than the other person, you're going to want to get something like a type of agreement, typically called a tenancy in common agreement, that will allow you to keep a greater share of that property if it was ever sold. Your solicitor will talk you through that. And I suppose that feeds into the last thing, which is deal with a good solicitor who's familiar with conveyance, which is the legal way of buying and selling property. Do those things, and most of the time stuff is going to work out.
All right. Carl Dieter of Irish Mortgage Brokers, my thanks to you for joining us here on Lunchtime Live this afternoon. If you want to share your story with us today, if you're in a similar position to myself, you can get in touch with us on News Talk 53106 at a cost of 30 cents.